confess this morning, and I'm not confessing because I want you to be sorry for me. I didn't sleep last night. I think I maybe slept an hour. I don't know what was going on, but that was messing me up, and my head was all over the place. So this morning I woke up, and man, I was floating all over the place, and I said, what? This is going to be one of those days. I don't know who's going to preach this sermon. I'm not even sure I can remember the words that are written on 8 pages that need to be in my head. So as I stand here this morning, I really stand on the word of the Lord that says, his strength is perfect when our strength is gone. Because I have nothing. My strength is gone this morning. I am completely in the Lord's hands. But that's the amazing thing, because it's never me. Or each one of us, as we worship, it's God that does that. So let's see what the Lord has in store for us this morning. So we've been doing this series about Follow Me. So we started off, and you remember we said, following starts with a relationship. And we spoke about a vine and the branches, and we said, like a branch cannot live or bear fruit on its own, it needs to be connected to the vine so that it can get everything that it needs from the vine, so that it cannot just grow and become the best potential, or grow to its best potential and bear its best fruit. The only way to follow is to have relationship. The week after that, we went a little further and we said, when Jesus calls people, the interesting thing that he does is he calls imperfect people. I actually made the joke and said, someone said, it's a prerequisite to follow Jesus. You need to be imperfect. And when he calls imperfect people to follow him, he doesn't put us through a lot of rules and regulations. Do this, don't do that, don't do this, be careful. He calls us to walk with him and to trust him. Last week, we saw how Jesus took us to this moment at the Sea of Galilee, where he asked a few things. And he said, remember, following me starts with listening, with information, where you learn who I am before you say, okay, I'm going to walk with you. I'll show you who I am. The next little step was, once you start listening, he might ask you to allow him to get into your boat. And we said the boat is also an image of our lives, where he comes into our life and he says, see what I can do with your boat. The third little step we took last week was when we said, he also asks us to trust. When he says to them in the middle of the day, let's go catch fish, and they know you don't catch fish in the middle of the day. But he says, give me the nets, let's throw them out and see what happens. Trust. Following also needs us to trust. Even if we've done this thing 1,000 times, we know it's not going to work, and he says, quiet my way and see. And only then comes the one that most people think where following starts, where we are able to say, okay, I can leave the nets behind. Let's get out of the boat. And let's go do this following thing. Remember I said, it doesn't matter where you are, which step you are, and where you are on this journey. Just take the next step, because if you take the next step, it will change your life forever. So this morning, we're going one step further. We're getting out of the boat. And we're following Jesus. What does that mean for my life? What does that do to my life? What are the consequences that it has for my life? Here's the thing. Let me just say this right in the beginning, because this is kind of a premise that I'm going to work around. Following Jesus is not a promise that your life is going to be perfect every day. Never makes that promise. Following Jesus is not a promise that life's going to be plain sailing all along. We can use an analogy for a wonderful country like Canada. It doesn't mean that every winter's day is going to be sunshine without snow and the 401 is going to have no traffic. Not going to happen.
That's not what Jesus promises when he says, follow me. And that's why many folks stop following, because that's what they think following brings or means. Let me try and show you what following does bring and what it does mean. For that, I'm going to take you to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. I'm not going to read yet, but it's fine. You can leave that on there. So the disciples have left the boats. They've been with Jesus for a while. They've learned a little bit from Jesus. They've seen Jesus do all kinds of things. And then in Matthew 10, Jesus says, okay, you're out of the boat. Now it's time for you to go do what I've taught you to do. So I'm going to send you to go do this work. It's time to put following into action. But before he sends them off, and these are the verses I'm not reading, I'm just giving you the background. He says, so here's a few things. I'll give you the authority to go and do what I have done. Which is, wow, amazing. I'll give you the authority, power to do this. Don't have to do it on your own. And there are a few rules. He says, so don't go to the Gentiles and their cities, and don't go to the Samaritans. Go to the lost sheep of Israel first. And then you go do these things. You go heal people. You go raise the dead. You go preach that the kingdom of heaven has come. But don't take money. Don't take clothes. The worker is worth his or her keep. I'll take care of you because he's teaching about following. Don't take all the stuff that you think you need. Following sometimes needs to trust me. Remember the next. Trust me. So go do this. And I can imagine how excited they must be. Wow, he's giving us authority. We're going to pray for people. We're going to heal them. We're going to raise the dead. Boy, this is going to be quite the amazing journey. And then Jesus says the following. Verse 16, Matthew 10. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. And the moment he said that, I would have said, okay, not going. Sheep and wolves don't work well together. We're always going to come second. Wolves will always win in this one. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. For you will be handed over to the local councils. And you will be flogged in the synagogues. You're out of the boat. So now go. And go do this. But Jesus, hold on a second. You're talking about appearing before councils? You're talking about being beaten? We thought if we would go in and preach and we're healing people and we're raising people from the dead, people are going to love us. We're going to be like celebrities. That's going to be perfect. You're talking about arresting? You're talking about beating? That doesn't make sense. We're following you. Should it be okay? Shouldn't life just be? So look what he says. He says, on my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses. Underline that word for a moment. He's going to come back to that a little later. You'll be witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, not if, when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. And I'm thinking, Jesus, so number one, you're saying we're going to be beaten, we're going to be put in jail, now we're appearing before this court, and you're worried about saying things. I'm a little more worried about jail. Couldn't you just kind of give me one of those Monopoly cards that says, get out of jail free, rather than giving me words to say, I don't need these words kind of things. I need a don't put me in jail kind of thing. Because I'm doing what you're telling me to do. I'm living the life you want me to live. I'm following you. I'm out the boat. It's all about jail and arresting. When they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it, for at that time you will be given what to say for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So when I go through these difficult things, when I'm in jail, when I'm arrested, when I'm being beaten, the Father knows about that. And the Father is there. And you see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. He doesn't say, I'm going to take this stuff away from you when you follow me. But what he's saying is, when this stuff happens and you are following me, you are not on your own. But my Father is there with you. And my Father is going to help you to get through this. Because as you go through this, and the way you go through this, and the way that people will see me in you as you go through this, will be, can I take you back to the word I said underlined, will be you being a witness. Can you remember the Greek word for witness? I've said that word a million times. Can you remember it? Martureo. It is the English word that starts with martyr. The Greek word for witness is martureo. You will be my witnesses. Doesn't always mean it's going to be easy. But when you need to, in all of these difficult circumstances, be my witness, then my Father will give you, did you see them many times? Say, speak. Then Father God will take you through those moments so that you will be able to be such a witness that they will see Him. And they'll say, I can see Ella's going through a really tough time. But look at Ella. He's showing the love of Christ. He's showing that Jesus is in him and he's working through this. And that's a witness to those who will see. Oh, so following doesn't mean all of a sudden everything is hunky-dory and everything is perfect. It means no. Often it's not going to be that. But when I get there, I can still use this as a witness to say, but look, God has not let go of my hand, because that's what the world thinks. When stuff gets tough, they think, no, God has turned his back. No, it is my opportunity to say, look, he's not let go of my hand. That's why Jesus says the words, I'm going to jump a few verses to verse 28. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You're out of the boat. But Jesus, you said they're going to put me in jail. They are. And when they put you in jail, do not be afraid. But Jesus, you said they're going to beat me. They will. And it's going to hurt. Do not be afraid. But Jesus, I'm going to stand there before you. I know. But do not be afraid. For the message of Jesus is not that you will never have trouble and life will never be difficult. The message of Jesus is when life is difficult, sorry, I don't have your permission to say this. When my friend Jamie's wife came and knocked on my door and said, Jamie had a huge accident, and the chances are really good that he's going to lose his life. I went and I sat with Jamie and Colleen, and we prayed, and we read, and those are my words for you, Jamie. I said to him, God does not say he takes all this stuff away, but he says, when you go through the tough times, I'm going to be there. When it feels like you're overwhelmed, I'm going to be there because I love you and you belong to me and you are honored. And that's why my son will die for you. And we're going to stand on that word and he's going to take you through the difficult times. And last night when I spoke to Jamie, he saw the doc and the doc said, Jamie, we were saying we're going to remove the eye and we're not going to. Praise God. Because God is working. He didn't all of a sudden just say, okay, Jenny, it's fine. No, it didn't happen. It happened. It's still happening. He's still struggling. It's not gone. But God says, I know. But don't be afraid. My promise is, when it's tough and hard, I will be there. Let me show you. Let me show you what it means. Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Gehenna. Say, notice the word. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your father's care or without your father's knowledge. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are worth so much more than many sparrows. Don't be afraid. But Lord, don't be afraid. But what if? Don't be afraid. In spite of the things that will happen, you are worth so much more. Did you see that image? What a beautiful image. Sparrows were worth little things. Half penny each. We don't even have a penny anymore. That's how worthless it is. And one sparrow is worth half a penny. And God says, and that little sparrow won't fall on the ground without your father. If he cares that much for a half penny sparrow, how much more? How much more will he care for you who was bought in the blood of Jesus? That's where the journey with Jesus following him outside of the boat takes us. It takes us into the reality of this world with all of its brokenness, with all of its pain. But in this world, I learned how God cares for me and takes care of me. And that's what's called faith. And that's part of this journey. Walking in faith. Faith that is so big and so strong. Faith that finds its security in the love of my Father. That no matter the circumstances, no matter what happens, no matter what the faith that is big. A faith that is sure that God will be present. A faith that is sure that God will love me. A faith that is sure that God will protect me. And that kind of faith is faith that takes fear completely away in my life and overwhelms fear. We do the we allow fear to overwhelm our lives. When I walk with God, and when I come to those difficult places, and I hold on to His hand in faith, faith overwhelms the fear that the world brings into our lives. That's not easy. It takes a lifetime of walking with Him and holding His hand and feeling that He is there, although I cannot see, because faith cannot always be seen. But we are worth so much. So here's the thing. When we live life, and life gets hard, and if it feels like everything is falling around you, this is where you hold on to Jesus. And he's going to take you through that. You see, I'm not afraid of the one who can take my body. I'm not afraid of him. I stand on the one who counted the hair on my head. I stand on the one who knows my name. I stand on the one who heals my soul because he died for me. And he called me to follow him. For there's nothing, says Paul in Romans 8, that can separate us from the love of God. Not all the hardship in this world, not all the lust in this world, not all the brokenness in this world, not all the stumbling in this world, nothing can separate us from. And I know you're saying to me, Aubrey, that's beautiful theology. But I'm not there, so here's the thing. Neither am I. Neither am I. It's a journey. We haven't arrived. He said, follow me. He didn't say, come and arrive. He said, follow me. It's a journey where day by day I'm learning. Oh, I trusted. Look where I am. Oh, I went through this. Look where I am. And I grow. And I grow. It's a journey. You don't have to be there yet. But keep the steps. Keep those little baby steps. And follow. And see what he does in your life. But what is this? I know. Don't be afraid. And when this? I know. Don't be afraid. For your outside body. Sometimes it will ask of you to deny yourself and take up your cross and walk to a hill called Calvary and be crucified for yourself, for this world. It will ask of you to walk in my footsteps. In my footsteps walk not just past the cross, but past people who hate me.